Wisconsin state parks could be in for a tough future, according to our guest this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It is coming up on 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, February 7th. Our guest says the no tax dollars funding model for the state parks is untested and unsustainable. And we will talk about what he sees as the benefits of our parks, the issues with relying on entrance fees, and how local economies that depend on park visitors could be affected. And we want to know what you think. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Are you as concerned about the future of Wisconsin state parks? Let us know your thoughts and questions. Let me welcome our guest, happy to have with us, Bill Lunny, past president of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, and is serving his 28th year as the chair of the Dane County Parks Commission. He blogs at lunnyforhealthyparks.org. He recently wrote a piece that we have posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page called Walker Proposes Dangerous Times for State Parks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Happy to join you.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about, I mean, we'll go into some detail, but tell us in a nutshell, why do you think these are dangerous times for state parks?
Well, first of all, Wisconsin was one of the first states in the Union to create a state park. We created a state park in the late 1800s. We're in uncharted waters, I believe, with the proposed policies because there are really, it's an untried and true pay-to-play funding model. And while our DNR staff, their outstanding park staff that I have worked with over the years and have a very high regard, they're being, under this policy, forced to treat the park system as a commodity to be managed with no tax dollars and relying on fees. Parks are a long-term natural resource asset. They're not simply a recreational commodity that can be managed through these funds by fees and other, and to balance an annual budget. We have to look at the long-term role of parks, including their very important role in our natural resource system. It's a multi-generational continuum that we need to use to manage our parks.
Well, so the parks were defunded of state taxpayer dollars in the last state budget. Why are you speaking out now?
Well, the DNR was able to use some of the surplus funds that they had in the past. But I think it's really important that the public understand and be aware of the danger that may occur with our state park system. It's not going to be an immediate scenario. It's going to be over a period of time where our state parks will potentially deteriorate and will not be able to provide the very important role and function that they've had in the past.
Yeah. You know, but one of the reasons I brought that up is that I have noticed on Facebook, for example, a lot of people who may have missed that the state parks no longer receive taxpayer dollars because there's like surprise saying, oh, no, don't do this. It's already been done, right?
Well, it has, yes. And, of course, there is an opportunity to reverse this process. The reason why it wasn't as noticeable, as I said, that the DNR did have some surplus funds which they were able to utilize and draw down. But those funds are now about to end so that the future is going to become much more significantly a challenge. You know, state parks and parks generally do not have lobbyists in the state legislature. We don't have that kind of infrastructure. So part of the reason I wrote this piece was to alert the public as much as I could so that they could be able to understand what's going to be happening and how serious that can be for our future and the future of our natural resource management in this state.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit though about the entrance fee or the camping fee. What's wrong with having people who use the parks pay for the parks?
Well, I think that's a great question, and there's nothing wrong with having a limited amount of a user fee. In Dane County, for example, we utilize fees to supplement what are general taxpayer dollars. And I think the further you move toward a full-time pay-for-play, you have several significant issues. not everybody can pay for those increased fees. And so I think we're going to prevent certain individuals from having the opportunity to have the benefits of our state park system and our park system generally. Also, we have a potential over a period of time of a negative impact on tourism and local economies, and I think that's extremely important. Right now, our state parks provide for a very important infusion of economic dollars into our local communities. This money pays for private businesses, for gas, food, lodging, and as the admission fees will be at the highest among Wisconsin's neighboring states, it's highly probable that this will have a negative impact on the attendance and tourism dollars.
Yeah. Well, but aside from the economic impact to a local community, what are the biggest benefits, as you see it, of a strong state park system for residents?
Well, you know, parks have an extremely important role to play. Our parks and green spaces enhance the quality of life throughout our whole state, because people can have a relatively easy access to the out of doors, to recreation, its natural beauty. Parks and trails boost economies, as I say. They provide extremely important physical and mental health. It's promoted by parks and trails. They offer readily available, inexpensive facilities for people to use. And actually, one of the very interesting things that has occurred over time is there's been an analysis provided by Pulitzer Prize-winning eminent scientist E.O. Wilson that says that the human species actually has an instinctive bond with other living things and with the natural world around us. And we gain our sustenance from that bond. Nature holds the key to our aesthetic, intellectual, cognitive, and even spiritual satisfaction. So there are many reasons why parks are important to provide for the quality of life and the future of our state.
We are talking with Bill Lunny. He is past president of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. He wrote a recent op-ed piece that was in the Capital Times called Walker Proposes Dangerous Times for Parks. We are talking about the benefits of our state parks and talking about the future challenges of maintaining our parks now that they do not receive any state taxpayer dollars. Are you concerned? Do our state parks increase your quality of life? What do you think should happen? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have Carrie on Facebook who says, I can't fathom the thought that landscapes and natural wonders that have survived centuries are being managed and subject to the whims of comparatively immature minds whose visions are short-sighted as their gratification goals. My heart breaks at the lack of respect and knowledge of things that are far older, wiser, and more valuable than selfish political ambitions. I, for one, am glad to support these unique and precious places in Wisconsin and in the U.S. Let's stick together and protect the important things in this world. So, she's willing to pay, she says, and I think she meant by taxpayer dollars, not user fees. But what about that, Bill? Do you think there is enough public support to warrant public taxpayer dollars?
Well, I think we'll find out over a period of time. You know, the parks have such a very small impact, financial impact on the overall state budget. When you look at it, it's the multi-billion-dollar state budget. And so I think there is clearly a willingness, and I think there will be a willingness. I think it's important to recognize that while fees can be a supplement and can be augmenting some of the taxpayers' dollars, a healthy park system cannot, under any circumstances that we've been able to find, to be able to support a full range of all of the park services, and particularly the infrastructure maintenance that's going to be necessary, because that's one of the key things that we have. We have to make sure that we have the invasives taken care of. We have to make sure that we maintain a sound ecosystem and recognize that parks are a very significant element in the quality of life of our state.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will get more reaction to our guests' concerns. Bill Lenny, again, wrote this piece. Walker proposes dangerous times for state parks. He says that the no-tax dollars funding model for the parks is untested and unsustainable, and he is concerned about the future of our state parks. He says that we can't just rely on entrance fees, and this is going to hurt us as individuals and hurt our local economies, communities that depend on park visitors. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the future of our state parks. And our guest says that dangerous times could be ahead for Wisconsin state parks as they no longer receive taxpayer funding. And there is more reliance on user fees. And we'll also talk about a trial balloon being floated that maybe there should be some corporate naming rights in our state parks. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Bill Lunny, who is the past president of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks and is serving his 28th year as chair of the Dane County Parks Commission. And by the way, Governor Scott Walker is delivering his state budget address to a joint session of the Wisconsin legislature tomorrow afternoon at 4. We'll be carrying that live here on the Ideas Network, and we will be following up on Thursday morning between 6 and 8 with a wide variety of reaction and analysis. But Bill Lenny, since I have you here right now, what would you like, what are you hoping for from Governor Walker's upcoming budget proposal when it comes to our state parks?
Well, I mean, I think that the critical element in the future of our state parks has to be a partnership between state funding and user fees. And as I indicated earlier, there is an important role for user fees in any operation. The state parks are now supported to some extent by user fees. But the fee increases that are being proposed and are really going to be necessary are fee increases that I think are going to significantly impact, potentially at least, the attendance at state parks. It's an unproven model. It would make Wisconsin one of the highest in the region, if not the highest, in terms of user fees compared to other states. I think that can have ultimately a negative impact on visitorship and, quite frankly, can have a negative impact then on local communities that rely heavily on state parks for some of their economic benefits.
How much is being proposed?
Well, the fee increases can be as much as doubling what they are now. It's going to change the model to some extent. There are various fees that are being set up, but it would be essentially a much larger percentage of the operation of the fees the way they are now.
Yeah. I don't believe there's been any official proposal along these lines, but at least it's been a trial balloon that has been floated that maybe, or maybe it is in the DNR budget, I'm not sure, that could consider the naming rights, not naming a state park after a company in Wisconsin, for example, but maybe the pavilion in that park could be named after a company in Wisconsin. What are your thoughts on that as a possibility?
Well, I think that there are potentially roles for some naming activities. I think it's a philosophical issue. It's a critical element that we have to recognize that we want to have our parks supported. And while naming rights are a potential, I think generally speaking, it's better to have those sources of income come from the general area. particularly, we don't want to assure that if there's naming that would impact some of the policies that would be operational in that particular park. Parks are really a natural resource that need to be managed for future generations. And I think that's the real key to this idea of just having fees funded. Because when you do that, you're looking at quarter to quarter, year to year, having to make that annual budget through fees and through other contributions. And that removes the need to have that long-term management, which is really critical. We have to look at our parks for future generations. And that, with a pay-for-play model, doesn't really allow for that. And it isn't the fault of the DNR staff, who I think are high professionals in the parks area. This is primarily a policy that's being implemented by the state legislature and the governor.
We have full lines. So let's take some calls. Becky in Hustisford is with us. Hi, Becky.
Hello, Joy. I want to thank you and your caller. Bill, thank you so much for bringing up this subject. I hesitated to call because I do have a personal vested interest in this. I work as an employee of Milwaukee Public Schools, but through the rec department. And there's a program that unfortunately is a well-kept secret, and that is that Milwaukee Public Schools, in a long, long-term lease agreement with the state parks, operates some educational facilities. One is a farm. One is an outdoor, the Palmyra Environmental Learning Center near Palmyra. There's a farm called the Oak Ridge Farm Facility. They've, in conjunction with the state park, are operating the Lapham Peak Educational Facility. All of these are for school students. There's also a Hawthorne Glen within Milwaukee. They also work with the new Lakeshore Park. And there have been other things in the works to try and, through this educational mission, which has been going on starting in the 1960s and early 70s, to find ways so that all of the people of Wisconsin, starting with our very youngest and in some cases the most vulnerable, those who financially would not have the wherewithal to come out and enjoy the wild places of Wisconsin. At the Oak Ridge Farm Facility, we have had thousands of students each year come through the facility, seeing what a farm looks like, seeing what the kettle moraine.
Yeah, Becky, and I'm sorry to—I don't mean to be rude, but you, so you are saying that a lot of these kids are from Milwaukee too. So these city kids are able to go and enjoy and learn about nature.
Yes, Joy. Yeah. Thank you for summing it up so much. And
the caller,
my concern is that by taking this, by making it a pay-for-play situation, the students and families who for the first time may have been introduced to the schools, or parents who bring their kids back for this program and say, we went out to a park, we used the bike trail, we went swimming, we went fishing, they already have a steep enough economic burden to try and get out to use their parks. And to increase the fees to a point where it may be that only the wealthiest and most affluent can afford to use our parks, then it becomes a downward spiral.
Thank you, Becky. I'm going to jump in just because we have full lines, and you made a very, very important point, and I know you made this point in your piece too, Bill. You say that this could contribute to nature deficit disorder, and we need our parks for many things, including people getting out in nature and kids maybe in particular getting out in nature.
Absolutely. I think the parks provide an extremely important educational role in our community. And the Friends of a number of the state parks, actually, that's one of the missions that not only the statewide organization, but individual Friends groups have in individual state parks. They try to provide an educational component. You might ask, why is that important? Well, it's important because we really need the young people and future generations to be aware of how important the environment is and how important issues are in terms of our nature, because I think as we go forward, we're going to need those people to be advocates in future generations to make sure that we have the quality of life and our natural resources preserved.
Thank you so much, Becky, for the call. Mike in Plymouth is with us. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I understand most people are introduced to natural resources through their parks and trails. I grew up in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, And Point Beach was a state forest. State park was right down the road. And at that time, and you know, this is quite a while ago, there were naturalists, and the infrastructure is in pretty good shape. But I look around at a lot of our state parks now. There's very few educators. You know, I see deteriorating infrastructure. A lot of the state park infrastructure was built in the 50s and 60s by the WCC. And it seems like, you know, the current funding model, you know, with cutting taxpayer support is, you know, we're just headed to an unsustainable position in introducing people to the natural resources that are so important to all of us.
Yeah. I thought, Mike, though, you were wondering if the user fees were the only way that that this was only paying for administration. Is that what you were wondering about?
Well, I think the budget right now for state parks, I believe in 2015 was about $1.5 million, and maybe Bill can expand on what has happened since then.
Well, I guess there are a couple of ways of looking at this. The specific use of this money is essentially going to be to support the parks. And the revenues that are going to be generated are essentially going to be used as the main source of income and therefore expenditure for the state park system. And I think there's a real danger when we create this what's called a pay-for-play state, because there are very few states in the country that have done this. The state of Kentucky, for example, utilizes where they've created kind of a system, at least in a number of their parks, where they've created resorts. And those resorts are obviously going to be designed specifically for a certain kind of economic level of people. And so what we want to do and what we need to continue to do is to make sure that we have parks that are available to all of the people. And there are a whole series of reasons for that, including the health benefits for parks and other elements, which I can talk about in some detail. But so essentially, while this general model is now being proposed and is really going to be implemented to a great extent, if not fully, depending on how things operate in the legislature, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the blog, to make sure people knew what was going on so that they could talk to individual legislators, that they could write letters and do other things, so that the people generally have an awareness that there's a concern about and a real support for our state park system.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I knew Mike made an original point that I didn't mean to overlook, but I knew he had another one. But what about What about this? You mentioned it too, Bill, that the infrastructure at our state parks has been maybe not the best, and this stuff was built, Mike said, in the 50s, a lot of this stuff, and it's deteriorating. And will user fees be able to keep up with the need?
No, I don't think they can. I mean, I think that's one of the key things that needs to be looked at. A lot of the infrastructure was built in the 1930s, where the CCC was the main source of some of that, and that was a good program. And some of that infrastructure is still solid. But it's a significant financial effort to make sure that we maintain, because we have really, when the public begins to own land, we take on responsibilities for stewardship of that long-term land. He also made one other point I wanted to pick up on, and I'm glad you reminded me, the role of naturalists. Naturalists are critical. They breathe life into our park system. And really, the state has cut naturalist programs significantly. Door County is a good example. The number of visitors that we have there, we have several state parks in Door County, which really are critical to the economy of Door County. And the naturalist programs up there have been phased back over the years because of cost cuts and so on, so that we don't have those kinds of programming. So when people come up there, they really don't have that opportunity to really understand how parks function and really how our whole natural resource system functions. And we need that knowledge for the future of our country and for the future of our state.
Let's go to Tim in Rusk County now. Hi, Tim.
Good morning, Joy and Bill. I have kind of a former internal view of this. I'm a retired state park employee, and I'm sure there's a lot of state park employees listening today that would like to call in but are afraid to. My view is that every 2 years we would sit down as a park management team and try to allocate the money that we were given, and every year it would shrink. And we use the same term that one of your callers, I think Becky, made earlier, a downward spiral. By raising fees, we're going to lose users, which will obviously reduce our revenue. And it, in the 116-year tradition of top-quality Wisconsin state parks is just going to suffer from that. And over the years, you know, and speaking for some of the other state park people listening, we've had contact with millions and millions of state park visitors, and you see the benefit for the families and for the people that are getting exercise on our trails, and this is just going to really, really cut back on the ability to provide those quality resources and facilities and services.
Thank you for calling, Tim. What's your reaction, Bill?
Well, first of all, I'm always, again, when I hear from someone who's directly involved or had been directly involved with our state park system as an employee, I am, again, incredibly moved by the dedication that those people have, and I really appreciate that. They are outstanding professionals, and they've had to manage on a shoestring for years. And what happens very often is that the policy people make decisions to allocate resources to the areas where there's the most, the old squeaky wheel idea, where there's the most pressure. And so parks often get left behind or get very, very short amount of resources to be able to manage based on the assumption that, well, we'll take care of them in a future year. And I think we're beginning to start now to find out that we're starting to pay the price what I consider short-sighted management decisions that are made not by as much by the DNR, but by the state legislature and by the governor.
Yeah. We have an email from Jane, who maybe in the minute or so before our newscast, you can touch on this. Jane emails, what can I, as a voting citizen, do to get restoration of a portion of Wisconsin taxes to support the state parks?
Well, I think that's a great question, and I think there are a couple of levels. As I mentioned earlier, parks don't have a lobby. There's no organized lobbyists that are out there pushing. So what it really is going to require is the community. And I think that's one of the reasons I wrote this piece, because I wanted people to begin to understand what's really going to be happening. Well, there are very simple things you can do. The first thing you can do, I think, is to make sure that your individual state legislators know your viewpoints on this. That can be done very simply by a call or by a letter. I think secondly, I think always very significant throughout the state are letters to the local editors of the newspapers that begin, because the state legislature and other people read this. Eventually those fees are going to be set by the state legislature through that budget process and through the legislation. And I think they need to hear from that. I think it's going to take a long-term effort here. I think at some point there's going to be a much more significant organizational system that will be needed to be set up for our park system to make sure that we have our voices heard in the state legislative halls.
We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll talk more about the future of Wisconsin state parks. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about the future of Wisconsin state parks with our guest, who says that these are dangerous times for state parks. The state parks are now not receiving any taxpayer support. And he says that this model is untested and unsustainable. And he thinks that it is it's not enough to rely only on entrance fees, and he says much is at stake. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We would like to hear from you. Our guest is Bill Lunny, past president of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. He is also chair of the Dane County Parks Commission. He blogs at lunnyforhealthyparks.org, and he recently wrote a piece called Walker Proposes Dangerous Times for State Parks. Well, we have a Facebook post from Gary, who is taking a different view on this. So far, we've heard from mostly callers who support some sort of taxpayer support of our state park system. But Gary says the natural features of nature, which the parks are built around, will be fine. The bureaucrats who have built their own little special thiefdom, and he spelt it like thief, by convincing the public that these natural features would not be there except for them, may be in for another rude awakening. Well, what do you make of that, Bill?
Well, I think it takes all kinds, and that's what makes our state and our country strong, and hopefully we'll continue to have that. I strongly disagree. I think that what I've learned in my 30 years of experience as a volunteer, and I'm not a bureaucrat, I have no role to play other than what I do personally with my time and my financial resources. I found that really natural resources need to be managed. We take for granted often what we now have, and that's because there is that level of management. Nature will operate and will function, but the kinds of things that we need to do is to make sure that we have the infrastructure, to make sure that the streams are not eroding away the shorelines, that we have the beautiful parks, for example, in Door County that are going to continue to be resources for the economy of that area. So I think it's quite short-sighted to try to manage it on an annual basis, but one really needs to look at the long term in terms of management. And in order to do that, we need scientists. We need people who understand how those individual ecosystems work. We need those professionals. And so I think they're extremely critical in the way in which we operate our park system.
Yeah. So paint a picture for us and for those just joining us. If this, what you call unsustainable, untested, no tax dollars funding model is what remains in place and nothing else except maybe hiking user fees, what does it mean for our state parks? What's going to happen?
Well, I think the fear, and of course one doesn't know for sure, and I think that's one of the fears, but you can see some of the elements that I think make for a significant or questions. Parks have an extremely important role, for example, to play in our physical and our mental health. We have parks that now medical journals indicate that we have articles on the role of parks to enhance our health. People commonly use parks in many ways now for physical activity. And, for example, our children need to be able to have access to our parks without having to pay or that their families to pay fees that may prevent them from doing that. So I think in the long run, we're beginning to lose that sort of public and individual support. In addition, I think we're going to see a park system that will continue to will start to deteriorate and will deteriorate perhaps a fairly significant fast roll. We need to have a park system that has the roads to be able to for people to be able to get into. We need to make sure that our beaches are going to be clean and are going to be able to be used in the future. So there are various recreational aspects as well as those long-term elements. And the importance of parks, again, is in the economy of these local areas. So if people don't come to the parks, then the economy in some communities are really significantly impacted if people are not attending those parks and enjoying those natural resources.
Let's go to Janet now in North Fond du Lac. Hi, Janet.
Hello. I think I'm very grateful for your article in the Madison newspaper. My two daughters granddaughters live in Madison, and I'm going to ask them about the Capital Times article. Their mothers, who are now in their early 60s and approaching 60, when they were young, they were in 4-H. We had a chance to go and spend time at a 4-H camp, and they still talk about that. Now, I don't know if we went to a 4-H property or a state park, but it seemed like it was a state park, and they still talk about that today, and I'm sure many youth who have had camps in state parks. And as to Gary, who is talking about Chieftains, I know these are sponsors and established a long time ago of national parks, but it's along the same line. Is he referring to John Muir and Teddy Roosevelt as chieftains?
No, I don't think that's exactly what he's saying, but I get you, Janet. Well, yeah, she's saying that this is something that she thinks her children still talk about their times, you know, in state parks today when they were, you know, and now they're adults.
Right. Well, what I heard is the very important educational element that parks provide. And I think it provides it to communities, I mean, to individual families, because people can utilize the parks, can have memorable experiences. Some of the best experiences they will have in their lives can often be had in a state park. And I want to make sure that that's available for the future. I want to make sure that people can have that opportunity. And I think the funding model that's being set forth here really starts to jeopardize that opportunity. And I think one can look at and see the various reasons why that funding model would have some problems. Just as an example, if we were to move that directly into that kind of funding model, there would be a competition between the state parks and some of the other communities, and some of the other businesses. And also, our state parks are not the people who manage our state parks are not really chosen based upon the economic ability. They've been chosen and have been trained to operate our state parks as what they should be: natural resources that are available for all of the people.
Let's go next. Thank you, Janet. Mark in Franklin is with us now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. See, I use the state parks a lot. During the summer, I get down to maybe twice a month using, maybe three times a month using the trails, and in the winter, it's pretty much every week. I think the biggest problem we've got in the state parks is, well, first of all, I got to say the educators in the state parks are fantastic. We've got a lot of DNR people that perform educational functions, and they lead hikes. They've got Facebook accounts. They've got meetup accounts and people, and they draw in crowds into the groups. And I was hiking up at Horicon a couple of weeks ago, and we had 20 people out there, and it was below zero wind chill. But they're great people. The parks are great. The out-of-state fees are way too low. You go, what is it, $10 extra for an out-of-state annual sticker compared to Wisconsin for somebody from Illinois or Minnesota. Why isn't it double?
Mm-hmm. Well,
the parks down here are packed with Illinois plates, and the parks up north are packed with Minnesota plates. Door County is packed with Illinois plates.
So stick it to them, Bill.
Yes, and I think that is part of the essence of this proposal, to try to do that. But I think there, if you start playing that economic game, then you realize that there's a point where those fees, if they get too high, people aren't going to come. So I think that's part of the challenge. And while I think the state park staff that is trying to set this up, we're in uncharted waters here. They don't know exactly what some of those tipping points are. I mean, I think we clearly understand that people need to pay for the parks, and that non-residents, because they don't pay, that they're coming from an area that's further away. But if there's no state tax dollars that are involved in it, then I think that non-resident argument actually starts to fall apart.
Yeah. Do you have any off the top of your head idea of how many do mostly Wisconsin people visit our state parks, or are they mostly out of staters?
Well, I think it's still primarily Wisconsin. The part of the issue that we have is the competitive nature that we have with other states. Under these proposals to increase the fees at that level, Wisconsin would clearly be the highest fee-driven park system among our neighbors. And I think so when people have an opportunity, if they're from Illinois and they have visited Wisconsin in the past, if Iowa's parks fees are less, and then they may well try to consider that as an alternative, and probably will. And as a result, I think, again, it comes back, among other things, to an economic issue, that there have been studies that indicate that our state park system generates anywhere from, $500 million to up to $1 billion a year in local economic impact. And I think if that can be, if that's diminished even by several hundred million of dollars, that can have quite a significant impact on tourism and other elements. So I think it has to be looked at as a total component. And I think we really need to again get back to the idea that our parks are natural resources first and need to be natural resources, and that the economic aspect of this is critical to make sure that we have that maintained.
Yeah, well, we have just a minute left, and I know we talked a little bit about what you would hope the state does, but how hopeful are you that we will at some point restore funding to taxpayer funding to state parks?
Well, I think it's up to the people. I think it's up to the people who are concerned about it, the callers that were made this morning and others. I think they have to start an effort here that may take several years, but I think when state legislatures and the governor realize that there is a concern, a constituency, a backbone of support for our state parks, I think they will be able to take notice of that. And that's part of the purpose of the blog I wrote, and that's I'm happy to be a part of this program this morning to again alert people as to how important this is going to be.
Well, you did, and it was a busy hour. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Bill Lenny, past president of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, and you can see his piece, Walker Proposes Dangerous Times for State Parks, posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Chris Molina and to Brianne Shasso for producing the hour. This is the Ideas Network.